all believe that this morning? He's not finished with you yet. Yesterday I was driving down the road with, we took the ladies to a craft bazaar. I don't know what else to call it. It was a bunch of booths, and I had two other men brave enough to go with me. Johnny being one. And Johnny rode up front with me, and while we're coming down the road, you all know, I teasingly told them on the way home that Johnny had talked my ear off. Now you all know Johnny can't say a lot. But as we rode down the road, he said something profound to me. He said, you know, God didn't let me die because he wasn't done with me. And then he said this, he said, and this has just stayed with me, Johnny, since you said it yesterday. He said, God's got something for me. And I'm gonna find out what that is. God's got something for me. I hope that's the posture of all your hearts, that God's got something for you. That you're not just a speck of dust floating through the cosmos, but God's got something for you. I want to read to you this morning from Matthew 25. We're going to continue in our series of the harvest is past, the summer has ended. We're not saved from I told you the inspiration came there from Jeremiah 8:20 about missed opportunities. I don't want to miss my opportunities, right? So just bear with me. I know we're still standing, but I want to read to you verses 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Matthew 25, just bear with me. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man who traveled, journeyed into a far country. And he called his own servants to him. Do you get that? He's going away for a long time. And he gives those servants his goods, his stuff. He entrusts what is his to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent. But to every man he gave according to his several ability. And immediately, straightway means immediately, he left, took his journey. The one that had received 5 talents went out, began to work, traded, turned 5 talents into 10. Likewise, the one that received 2 talents, he went to work. He turned 2 talents into 4. But he that received 1 talent, he went and he dug a hole in the earth and he hid his Lord's money. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that we are here. I thank you that this is Family Sunday. I thank you for all these kids in here. They got to put up with Pastor today. Lord, bless them for that. But Lord, let what is said touch our hearts, the adults and the children. You're looking in this hour for people who will be faithful. Lord, I love you and I thank you for this morning. I bless this word and I pray that it would be God's word, not mine. Lord, let me be put away, that Jesus is seen only, that he is heard. We love you today. We bless you. In your name we pray, Lord, today. Amen. 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 You be seated this morning. Glad to have you here with us today. I've been using a little prop here for the last few sermons I've been preaching to you from Matthew chapter 25, a couple props here. And I'm just going to set these back out here this morning for us. But how many are thankful that we can be a light for Christ? How many of you feel like maybe in one way or another you have been a light for Jesus? Anybody feel that you've done that in one way or another? You know, how many of you get ticked off when people leave the lights on in the house? I think that's the cross of every father, every man. How many of you men feel like you spend most of your day walking through the house turning lights off that people have left on? The women, it's like women can't even understand this. Men, am I right? Isn't that? The other day I got up and everybody in the house was gone and I came downstairs and there's a song, that old country song I used to hear when I worked for Royal Vendors about 30 years ago, that said, every light in the house is on. And that literally is what was happening. And I walked through, I started turning the lights out, and I said in my exasperation, nobody's home so I could really say what I feel. I said, these people ought to work for Motel 6. Anybody remember Motel 6? What was their catch line? Well, that's the title of my message, we'll leave the light on. I didn't know when I said that in exasperation the other morning that that was going to be the title of this message, but as the Lord kept using the idea of this lamp as the illustration to us, I thought, that's a good idea. Now, we said that Jesus has called us to shine. He's called us to burn, right? 2 weeks ago, or not 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, when I shared with you, I said the only thing that matters is what? What good is this without this? It might look nice, it might look pretty, but it'll never do any good without this. You've got to have this. We said that this was Christ. Jesus is the oil. We sang that song, "Give me oil in my lamp." What does it say? Keep me burning. Christ is that oil. We know over there in John chapter 1, it says in him was life, and that life became the light of men, right? It illuminates us. But then we also said that the point of the oil, secondly, was the what? It was the shine. How many of you want to shine, right? And so if we're talking about Christ being the oil and he fills us so that we can shine, then we've got to walk not just in obedience to Christ, seeking after Christ, right? Because what was the point of the first parable in Matthew 25? There were five wise virgins and five foolish virgins, right? And the whole point of that parable is spiritual wisdom. I want to be wise. The Bible says over in Proverbs, we're going to get to the verse a little bit later, it says, "He that winneth souls is wise." It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom, right? And so we know that really for me to walk in spiritual wisdom is to seek after Christ. Christ is the oil. He's the one that I'm seeking after, right? And so if I'm going to be ready when Jesus returns, how many of you believe that Jesus is coming back, by the way? If I'm going to be ready when Jesus returns, then I have got to be somebody who is wise, right? Now, why is Jesus sharing this parable about a wise servant, and now we're going to look at about a faithful servant? Why is he doing that? Well, you have your Bible there, lay it open in your lap, back up one chapter to Matthew 24, and as you back up to Matthew 24, you get to look at verse number 44. Matthew 24, verse 44. And what does 44 say? Therefore means in light of, so you'll have to go back and read the previous verses to get what he's referencing here. But he says, "Therefore, be ye also ready." This is important. "For an hour that you what? Think not." That what's going to happen then? Then the Son of Man comes. So when Jesus comes, most people are not going to be anticipating it, and most people aren't going to be ready. You say, "Well, Pastor, how then can I possibly be ready if it's going to happen when I'm not aware of it, when I don't know about it?" Well, look down at verse number 45. Here's how you're ready. Look at Matthew 24, 45. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant?" Now when you jump over to Matthew 25 and Jesus starts sharing this parable about a wise virgins, you see why he's sharing that parable. He's trying to help us to be ready. Why he dealt with wisdom before faithfulness, I don't know. He's Jesus. He can do what he wants. Amen? But I do think that seeking the Lord, it should be the first thing. That's probably why it begins there. And so we know that to shine, to have oil, that is spiritual wisdom. The most important thing I can do in this day and age is to seek after Jesus Christ. That's what I do. But then I can't just shine in my own little sphere here. I can't just be an impact only on myself. I'm called to be a faithful servant, not just a wise servant who seeks after the oil, but I'm called to be a faithful servant that shines. And so I'm called to be a servant who says to others, "We'll leave the light on. We'll leave it on for you." If you had children that were traveling in from far away, which I have done this many times in the last nearly 30 years, going from here to my parents' home, which is over 400 miles away, and I often have to leave late in the night, and I get in late in the middle of the night, and Mom will say to me, "Aaron, I'm going to leave the door unlocked, and I'm going to leave the light on." What is that saying? Why did Motel 6 use that as their catch line? And it was a great catch line, by the way. You're a hotel, or a motel, I guess. They're Motel 6, right? So the point of that was they wanted to be welcoming. They wanted you to know that you can find a place to stay where? Here. And that's what we as Christians do. We are constantly trying to create opportunities for people to know it's not too late to come home. It's not too dark. You're not too far. You're not too lost. You're not too ruined. There's still time for you to come home. Now, how many of you can think of somebody right now in your life who was like that faithful lamp? They constantly were shining. They constantly had left the light on for you. How many of you here this morning would not maybe be here today if it wasn't for the faithful witness of somebody who by their life's practice said to you, "We'll leave the light on for you"? How many of you are thankful for that? Can you think of those faithful people? Well, if they're alive, you ought to call them today, or if you can get to them, go put your arms on them, put your arms around them, and you hug them and say, I'm thankful for you. And if that person happens to be sitting there with you today, won't you lean over and grab them and say, I'm thankful that you left the light on for me. Amen? I'm so thankful for faithful people. And so today, what we're going to begin looking at isn't just that we're called to be spiritually wise, and that makes us ready for the return of Jesus, but we're called to be spiritually faithful, and that's what makes us ready for the return of Jesus Christ. I've got to be faithful. It doesn't matter what you do. It matters what I do. I can't live my life based off what you do. You know what I decided years ago as a pastor? I just got to show up. It might be me and my wife and the kids one night. Well, that's all right. We showed up. And the beauty is, if somebody else would have come, they would have found people who would have worshiped the Lord with them. That's your job, brother or sister. That's your job, oh Christian. Just show up. And by showing up, you know what you're doing? You're leaving the light on. You're leaving it on for somebody else that can come in behind you. Amen? And so I want to be the person that God wants me to be in this hour. I told you that what really prompted me to preach this series of messages, and I've even entitled it this, The Harvest Is Past, The Summer Is Ended, is Jeremiah 8:20. It's missed opportunities. Now, be straight with me today, all of you that are here. How many of you wish that you could get in a time machine and go back to another point in your life and do something that you didn't do? Some of you want to undo. I'm not talking about the undo. We can maybe deal with that later. I'm talking about the doing. You missed your window of opportunity. I love to ask the kids here. Kids, do you like school? How many of you kids like school? About three hands. There's like 30 kids in here. Nobody likes it. I get it. It's okay. Tell the truth. Stay saved. You're in church. It's all right to say you hate school. I hated school. You know what I tell the kids when I ask them, do they like school? And they say, no, I hate it. I say, I hated it too. But you better pay attention or else you're going to end up like me. How many wish you'd have paid more attention in school? Right? I wish I'd have done better. Missed opportunities. I can't get them back. They're gone. Right? And so what Jesus is warning us against is finding ourselves in a place where we are missing the opportunities that he gives us to do and to be in this hour. And so I just got a couple thoughts for you. Three thoughts. Number one, God is expecting of us that we will be faithful. That's literally what he's saying in this parable. And we're going to kind of break it down here together. But before we break the parable down a little bit together, does God have every right to anticipate the faithfulness in our lives? Is he okay to say, yeah, and I expected you to read the word today. I expected you to pray today. I expected you not to yell at your wife. Right? He expected faithfulness out of me. He expects me to live as he has died so that I can live. You know what I love about God? We so often anticipate failure. How many of you ever come to an altar and you pray, God, let me this week not do what I've been doing all these other weeks. Let it be different. And what do you feel when you get up from the altar? You're afraid because you're afraid you're going to go home and you're going to be the same person you've always been. It's like we often anticipate failure. How many of you would be honest enough to say, Pastor, that has been me. I've anticipated failure too many times in my life, and I don't want to do that anymore, right? Well, let me tell you what Jesus doesn't anticipate. Jesus does not anticipate failure in us, amen? The Bible says, he who the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are new, right? So he anticipates faithfulness. And so why would he expect faithfulness out of somebody like me? It isn't because of me. Jesus doesn't anticipate faithfulness because you're a great person. Jesus anticipates faithfulness because of what he has done inside of you. He's lived inside of you. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 15. Listen to what Paul says. For the love of Christ constrains us. How many are glad that the love of Jesus keeps you from doing a lot of dumb stuff? Don't you wish you kept doing all the dumb stuff? Well, it will if you let it, right? It constrains us because we thus judge. We believe this to be true, that if one died for all, if Jesus died for everybody, then everybody was dead, right? That's verse 14. But listen to 15. And he that died for all, that they which live, that have been saved, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Jesus expects that because he died for us and he's given us new life, that we would just live a faithful life. Brothers and sisters, you can be faithful to church. Some of you need to make coming to church on Sunday morning more than once in a while. You say, well, I'm here today, preacher. Why are you yelling at me? Well, I got a chance to. You're here. Praise God, right? Make Bible study more than once in a while. Man, Bible study was packed Wednesday night. Praise God. And if you're not coming to Bible study, you are missing out. And not because I'm teaching, it's because these people are great and they're hungry to learn the Word of God together. Come, you missing Sunday school, you missing out. I sat down with four kids today who ate donuts and drank chocolate milk like it was their job. I'm like, man, I like to eat, but these boys like to eat. They wore out two bags of donuts that we had downstairs, nearly. And about 3/4 of a gallon of chocolate milk. If you see them wanting to go to the restroom, you'll know why. Right? So it's not hard to come to Sunday school. It's not hard to say, I'm going to serve you, Jesus. It is a reasonable thing. Paul said in Romans 12, 1, he talked this way all the time. I beseech you, brothers. I beg you, brothers, by the mercies of God, in light of what Jesus has done for you. That's what he's saying. That you present your body a living sacrifice. Why? Because he died for you. And then Paul says, that's just your reasonable act of service. He's not asking you to do something impossible. You can live for Jesus. Amen? How many are thankful that we can live for Jesus? Now, here's why. Ezekiel chapter 36, 25, 26, and 27, I wear you people out with these three verses. It says in 25, I will wash you away from all of your sins. How many are glad that your sins have been washed away? But then it says in verse 26, I'm going to take out your old heart. How many are glad you had a heart transplant years ago spiritually? And he took out the old heart and he put it, that old heart was hard. And he put in you a new heart, a soft heart. And then he wrote on it his laws and decrees. And then in verse 27, it says he put a new spirit inside of you that wants to obey those things, right? And so does God have every right to expect of us faithfulness? Amen? Absolutely. He's got every right to expect us to be faithful. So, with that in mind, let's look at the parable real quickly here together today. Luke, I see a lot of fan, and I don't know if it's hot or if the pits are some hot. Will you turn a couple of fans on for us? If y'all get too cold, blame Luke. He's turning them on. There's a lot of people in here this morning, so it's warm. Look at verse 14. Don't worry about the fans. Look at verse 14 of Matthew 25. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Jesus wants us to see this is the way things are. The kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a man who's going away into a far country. Now, let's just apply this as we understand it. Who is the man and where is he gone? It's Jesus and he's gone into heaven. And so that's literally what's happened. Christ has left us. I'm going to go away and I'm going to come again. What do those angels tell the men there in Acts chapter 1 as they watch Jesus ascend into heaven? And he's out of sight and they're staring into heaven. And the angels said, you men of Galilee, why are you staring into heaven? Don't you know this same Jesus who has gone away will come again in the same way that he went away? How many are excited about that? I went out of my door this morning to walk my dogs. You know, dogs never want to be walked at noon. They want to be walked at like 5:30. You know what I mean? Anybody got dogs? And so I went out and it was light. It wasn't 5:30. We went out early and as I opened the door, there was a rain cloud that was out just west of my house. My home faces west coming toward us. And there was a beautiful rainbow, half a rainbow that was in the sky. I don't know if anybody else saw it. I loved it. I rejoiced. I said, God, I know what that rainbow means, right? I know that one day when I go out and look out the front door of them old rotten dogs at maybe 5:30 in the morning, it might be then that I see Jesus in those clouds. He's coming, right? And so he's gone away. He's coming again, right? And so what goes on here in this parable? And so he calls his own servants to himself. Do you belong to Jesus today? If you're not saved, man, we can solve that. We can fix that by the time you leave here today, because if you believe with your confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus has come, he's died, he's been raised, you're saved. Amen? And so he calls his own servants to him, but he doesn't just call them to a potluck. We love to go to potlucks. Gail will tell you, Pastor, you call workday, we'll get three of them. You call potluck, the place is packed. She wears me out with that stuff. You guys got to stop making her a prophet, right? He doesn't want us just to come to fun stuff. He's calling us for a purpose. God has called you as a Christian, not just so that you can go to heaven at the end of the road. He's called you to do something with your life. The point of the oil is to what? Shine. And being faithful is what? It's leaving the light on, right? Look what he says here. He delivers unto them his goods. If God handed you a $20 bill, I'm talking God out of his wallet into your hand gave you a $20 bill, would you treat that just like any other $20 bill? It's God's $20 bill. Jesus has given us what he died for, what he worked for, what he labored for. He has entrusted us with what is his, right? He's given it to us. Real quick, if you're a note taker, John 20, 21. You might want to write by the end of verse 14. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Under the same commission that Jesus was under, we operate under. The same authority that sent the Son now sends us as servants of the Son. Listen to Matthew 28, another passage you want to write down. Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Jesus says in 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Listen to verse 19, the first part. Go ye therefore. All power has been given to me, you go in my power. So brothers and sisters, can we agree that to be given Jesus stuff is a big deal? Let's talk about what that stuff is, right? It says that he gave to them talents here. It says to one he gave five, to another he gave two, and to another he gave one. Before we focus on what the talents are and the amount, let's look at what it says here about the ability. He gave to every man according to his several or individual ability. For those of you that ever studied Bible words, that word ability that's used there is the Greek word dunamis. How many of you ever heard the word dunamis before used in church? That's the word that our English word dynamite sounds like it. It's the very same word where Jesus told the disciples in Acts 1 and Luke 24, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That word dunamis is used there for power. So God gives us ability, right? Or gives us, entrusts us with his goods according to our ability, according to our power. So don't sit here today and say, well, you know, I wish I could be like Aaron and sing up by the keyboard. I wish I could play drums like Luke. I wish I could, you know, run a computer for the screen. I wish I could do what Gail does. I wish I could be like, stop it! Because God knows your ability, and God, in light of that ability, has entrusted you with stuff. To one he gave five, to one he gave two, and to one he gave one. It wasn't that he favored the five over the one. It's that he never asked of the one to do what the five could do. God will never ask you to do more than you were able to do. Now, it will be uncomfortable because God will push you to the red line. And there are times where you think your ability stops here, and God's saying your ability starts here. Right? So you are not the authority here about what you can or can't do. Remember Moses when God said, I'm going to send you to Egypt to lead like 3 million people out of slavery? You guys remember that? And what did Moses say? All mealy mouth. Oh, stand there at Mount Sinai, bush burning. He's got his shoes off. He's on holy ground. God's there, bush isn't being consumed. And God says, you're going to go set my people free, right? I'm putting my word in your mouth. And Moses said, well, I'm not a good talker. Does that sound like some of you? Moses' ability was way down here, but in God, his ability was what? You know what I love about us church people? We love Philippians 4:13 when it's for us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Store closing in 3 minutes. You're 6 minutes away. I can do all things through Christ, right? Lord, I just know. It says in Psalms that you give me the desires of my heart. I just know there's a parking spot right up by the door. We love Bible verses when they make us feel good and comfortable. Philippians 4:13 is not about your ability to make good, you know, pancakes for your kids for breakfast. Philippians 4:13 is, I can do impossible stuff, not by my strength, but through his strength, right? He's laid some stuff on me, and he's called me to leave the light on because it's not just about me. My light, Matthew 5:16, is to so shine so that men would see my good works, and it directs them where? To the Father who's in heaven. I got to leave the light on, right? He's entrusted me. Now, the word talent that's used here, you may not know this. We think 5:2:1, that doesn't sound like a big deal. Talent that's used there was the largest form of currency that was in the day of Christ. It was equal. One talent was equal to 6,000 denarii. You say, well, what is that? Well, denarii was one day's wage. He was, the guy that got one received something so big that it would have paid for 6,000 days of work. Do you know how long that is? That's over 16 years. 365 days a year, 7 days a week, every day of the month, 16 years, he had enough to give what a man would earn in a day. Does that sound like a lot? And that's just one. The guy that got five had over, had 30,000 denarii. That's over 100 years. The guy that had two, he's got 12,000. So here's the thing. Some of us are going to seem to do more than others of us, but the reality is all of us have been entrusted with a big deal. You know, as I was studying this, and it said that a denarii was a day's wage, I thought, God, what does that represent? He's got 6,000 denarii. The guy that received one, what does that represent? Could it be opportunities in men's lives? Could it be other men's lives? A day's wage is how a man would feed himself and take care of himself. Am I snatching people out of the fire through this talent that's been given to me? Is my life somehow becoming an avenue where other men's lives are being brought in? And what blows my mind is the guy that got five talents, he's got 30,000 days worth of money, right? He goes to work and he turns those five talents into how many? 10. Now he's got 60,000. How many of you, when you leave this earth, you say, Pastor, I want to be somebody who's dragging behind me a heavy net of souls that I've been faithful working among, dragging them with me into the kingdom of Christ. Amen. I want to be a fisher of men. It's a big deal. And so if this is Christ stuff, it's according to my power. It's a big deal, right? And so the thing that God is calling us to, in all whatever he's asked you to do, this is your number one job. I want to just free you all from this. You know, if you want to have a hard job, again, come work with kids in the church. That is a hard job. You don't know if they're going to be here next week. We had some kids just a couple years ago that we fell in love with for like a month and a half, maybe 2 months. Gail would remember better than me. Norm would remember better than me. And we ministered to them. One little girl, we had her food box out front here. We had just put cameras up. And she went out and took a thing of peanut butter we had. We put spoons out. Oh, no, we hadn't put spoons out there yet. She went out and got a thing of peanut butter. She was so hungry. She got out of our thing, sat down on her in like, you know, Indian style. What do they call it? Crisscross applesauce now. We got to be all politically correct. But Indian style back in Blue Ridge Elementary. And she took a finger. Oh, it was a little cup of peanut butter. She opened it up with her finger. She started eating peanut butter out of it. Lived just down the street over here. And we fell in love with her. And suddenly, one day she walks in and she says to us, we're moving, it was several states away. And she was gone. Brothers and sisters, it's discouraging when you fall in love with kids. There was a family that was in this church in the beginning of this year. And I was sitting right here on this front pew. And the two little girls in that family, in just a matter of weeks, I'd fallen in love with. They were so hungry. They were coming to church. They were doing well. And then one little girl sits down, looks at me and says, we're getting on a bus today. And we're going all the way back to Florida. She was gone. It's discouraging working for the Lord. I'm not called to results. I'm so thankful that there's a big crowd of people here today. So thankful you all are sitting here fanning yourselves. You could go out of here, but you're listening to this word. I'm thankful for that. But you know what? There have been times when there's been just a handful here. Some of you can remember those times. You know what I had to do in those moments? It wasn't up to me. The results weren't mine. I have one calling, and my calling is to be faithful with the talent that my Father has entrusted to me. That's your one job. He's called you to be faithful. He's called you to leave the light on. You know what I love about faithfulness? I've been saying this for like 2 or 3 years now. God just laid this in my heart. I had to learn it the hard way. Faithfulness, you all need to get this. Faithfulness creates opportunity. You know, always pick on Uncle Mac. Me and Eric love to do that, don't we, Eric? Pick on Uncle Mac. He's like our favorite target. Uncle Mac, for years, and he'll tell you this. I'm not, this isn't insult him or hurt him. It's just the truth. For years, Mac ran from God. I mean, God was hot on his heels, man, because he'd be out doing terrible stuff. God would be saving his life or God would be having him cry and convict him. But he was running from God, and he would go to his mother's house. And I bet Uncle Mac, now that I think about it, I bet it was painful for you at times to go to your mother's house because you knew you weren't right. And as much as you loved her and wanted to see her, you had to look at her knowing that you weren't right. And my grandmother just worked on him and worked on him and worked on him and prayed for him and was good to that man. And his dad as well, but I'm just singling out his mom this morning. And would say, Mac, you know, and he would say, she never beat me up, but she would say, Mac, you know you're not right. You see, when he went to grandma's house, his mother's house, he never found her out of her mind, meaning that she was serving the devil. He never went there and she decided, walk in the door and she's got a bottle of Jack Daniels in her hand. He'd seen that a lot of other places, a lot of other people, but he never saw that out of his mother. He never went there and found her reading something other than the Bible. He never went there and found her praying to somebody other than God. The one thing he knew when all of it was messed up, the one place he could go where the light would still be on, was at his mother's. And you see, that's what God's called you to be. I want to be the guy. I had a young lady just in the last 3 weeks. Well, more longer than that, 5 weeks before Selma camp. And all of a sudden she messaged me out of the blue on a Saturday. Aaron, can I call you? There's a young lady who used to come to this church here. And I said, sure. I didn't know what was going on through Messenger. And I sent her my phone number. She calls me and she tells me about this experience at the grocery store where God had dealt with her. She said, I felt like I was so far from God. God could never save me. But I feel like God's calling out to me. And we prayed together on the phone and I ministered to her. Now, she didn't come to church the next Sunday. I told her to come. She hasn't come to church since. But I know this. When the Lord dealt with her, there was one place she knew that she could go where the light would still be on. And she called out to this church. I can't, listen, I'd love to have a church 5 times the size of this physically where we're not all jammed in on each other. I wish we didn't have to park cars on top of each other. I believe God's going to take care of all that. But the one thing we have control over, brothers and sisters, as a church, is that we can be faithful. I can't help what anybody else does. I can help what I do. Amen? And so I'm so thankful. We want to run past the guy with 5 and the guy with 2. But I'm so thankful there were 2 out of the 3. How many think what was a majority? It wasn't a majority that was unfaithful. It was a majority that was faithful. Would be to God that there'll be an overwhelming majority in this church, if not unanimous, that we were a people who were faithful. Amen? And both of these men in their faithfulness, one turned 5 into 10, one turned 2 into 4, and both of them are honored by God. Amen? We'll come back to them at the very end. Bear with me here. Secondly, God expects of his faithfulness, number one. Number two, among the Lord's servants there was found one who was unfaithful. Hear me today. That should scare you to death. You mean, Pastor, that among Christians there's going to be somebody who will be found unfaithful? Yes! Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is just like this. He didn't say it might be like this. It could be like, it is like this. Among the people of God, there will be found some who are unfaithful. Now, I'm getting way ahead of myself. My notes are all out of order here. Forgive me. But Pastor Steve preached a wonderful message for us last Sunday. Amen? Do you remember what he preached about? I love asking this question. Everybody's like, oh Lord, I've had a long week, Pastor. He preached from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. I listened to him coming up I-75, coming home last Sunday. And do you all remember that Luke 18, 1 to 8 was about a widow and an unjust judge? And the widow's responsibility was not to provide the solution. The widow's responsibility was to be what? Faithful. To go back to that judge. Did she go back? I love that parable, Pastor, by the way. I love that parable. Because I want to pray like that. She goes to the unjust judge. He don't care about God and he don't care about you. Anybody know some people like that in your life? Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Don't focus on him, right? But she goes to that guy, don't care about God, don't care about her. She says, I got a terrible mess. I need you to help me. He says, lady, you getting on my nerves. I'm not going to do a thing to help you get out of here. Next morning, first one in line. Judge, I'm here today. I got an awful mess in my life. Lady, get out of here. Next day, first one in line. Now I get out of here. Next day, first one in line. Get out of here. Next day, first one in line. Day after day after day after day. The only thing she could control was her faithfulness. And that judge finally said, I've shot every bullet in the gun. And she keeps coming back. I can't. He started talking to himself. You know, I don't care about you, God, and I don't care about this woman, but I'm sick of seeing her face. Lady, I'm going to do it. You know what he didn't see the next day? Her. Her responsibility was not to move the heart of the judge. Her responsibility was to be faithful. So many of you have pulled out your hair trying to do stuff. Stop it. If you need permission, the pastor's giving it to you. Stop trying to fix everything. How's that worked for you, by the way? All that fixing everything.
Has it made you happy? Has it made you empty? Has it frustrated you? Your only responsibility is to keep the light on. Be faithful. What was Jesus' big warning? What did Pastor take us to? The very end of the, really the crux of the message was verse 8. Howbeit, Luke 18:8, when he, the Son of Man, comes, shall he truly or really find faith in the earth? After all I've done for you to prove myself as your God and your Savior, when I come, will anybody still believe in me? I want it to be when he parts the sky, the angels of heaven to say, there he is, Lord. There's the guy who said he believed that you were coming. I want to be the one who is faithful. I am terrified to get up in front of you guys. Saturday nights are awful. I lay there in bed, roll all around. I don't know how Trisha puts up with it. You ever seen a hot dog at the gas station? That's me on a Saturday night. I know I got to come preach and I've got to share something that will help you in your walk with God. It's an agonizing thing. I'm not called for how it affects your heart. I'm not responsible for what it does to you. I'm only responsible to be faithful. I want to be a faithful pastor to you as my congregation, as my brothers and sisters. And I pray that this word will grip your heart today. And you'll say, Pastor, I can't control a lot, but I can show up. And I can leave the light on. I can be faithful. Really quickly, and I want you to get these points about the unfaithful servant. Unfaithfulness, I want you to hear this. Pastor shared it last week. He didn't know where I was going to go this week. The Lord did. He set me up wonderfully. Unfaithfulness is a terrible blight that we have to guard against. It is catching. If you get around unfaithful people, guess what you'll be? Get people around you that are just red hot, man, that are committed. I rode down the road yesterday with a bunch of wonderful people from this church who are red hot for crafts. I come out of there with a porch goose under one arm and a set of wind chimes that go in the ground. I don't even know how that works, but here I come. I didn't go for porch goof and wind chimes in the ground, but I come out with them. Why? Because I was around red hot people for crafts. It's catching, right? But also what I found yesterday going down the road with those people is they talked about the Lord. We were coming down the road, weren't we, Johnny? And they busted out a phone. Johnny and I said, dumb, we didn't know how to run the radio in the van. Y'all pray for us around here. We need some help. Johnny said, don't put me in with you, Pastor. Just because I was up front don't mean I was involved. We're coming down the road. They pulled out a phone. They started, what was the song y'all were playing? The one y'all started playing first. Brenda, where are you at? Where is Brenda? Is she up? She's not. Oh, she comes tonight. What was the song? In the River. And man, it got a hold of Johnny. Johnny's up there pumping and he's singing as Johnny can sing and he's getting with it, man, and doing his thing. And I thought, here's a man whose literal throat has been torn open because of cancer and there ain't no rocks that are crying out for him. He's worshiping. It's catching. It's catching. So if you want to be faithful, get around faithful people. If you want to be unfaithful, get around unfaithful people. It's a terrible blight. And so what do we see in this unfaithful servant? Really quickly, we see what the master's done. Let's see what the unfaithful servant does really quickly. We see that the immediate thing he does when he's given that one talent, the first thing he wants to do is get it out of his hands. I don't want to be burdened with it. So many Christians today don't want to be burdened with the Christianity. I want to go to heaven, but I'd like to have a really good time here while I'm here. Do you know that going to heaven and having a really good time right here are not compatible? The Bible says that the righteous person, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. It says that our persecutions will be faithful. We'll suffer to follow Christ. It is hard. It is time consuming. You got to get up before your alarm some days to pray and to read the word. You got to stay up late some nights and pray. You'll get a call from somebody else who wants you to pray. Or you'll be like JJ, get a call from grandma. I got to fix a sink in the middle of the night. Right, JJ? That happened last night. He's supposed to teach me with me this morning. He opens said, I overslept, Pastor. I was out late at Grandma's. He wasn't doing terrible things. He was working for the Lord. Jay, that was the Lord's work, right? It's hard doing this thing. But you know what? It's the most rewarding thing that you can do is to be a follower of Christ, but not for this guy. I don't want to be burdened with it. Now, be honest with me. How many of you have ever felt like that what God's called you to do is a real burden? And I have. I have said to the Lord, Lord, I can't wait to the day that I shuck this thing off my shoulders. What a terrible thing to say to the Lord. We often want to be like this man and say, God, let me lay it down. I heard about a man, or a woman rather, who was having a dream. And in her dream, she's carrying a cross, and her cross seems so heavy. And she said, Lord, I'm tired of carrying this cross around. He said, well, come here. I got a pile of crosses, you know. Pick one out of the pile. And she threw hers into the pile, and she started digging around. One was really beautiful, but when she went to touch it, it cut her. It was beautiful, but there was much suffering in it. She went through all these different crosses, and they affected her in different ways. One was too heavy. One was too wide. One was, you know, did this. One did that. And finally, she found this one cross. It was perfect. She put it on her shoulder. You know what she found out? It was the cross that she'd laid down. Is Christianity a burden to you? Is it a burden to come to church, burden to read the Word, burden to join your brothers and sisters, burden to share Jesus Christ, you know, as a witness to somebody? Is it a burden? Because it was to this unfaithful servant. Secondly, it wasn't just that he laid the burden down. He didn't go out and put it in the garage so he'd see it every time he brought milk in out of the car. He went out, and what'd he do? What's it say he did, brothers and sisters? He dug a hole, and he what? If you bury something, what are you trying to do with it? Get it where? I just don't want to see it. Now, there are two things here that we could apply. There's a literal act of burying, right, which some people, I guess, could do. But there's more of a spiritual aspect of burying, which I think more of us do, is we bury the burden that God's laid upon us under other things. Could be a job, could be a hobby, could be endless scrolling. How many of you, can we just be honest with each other here today? How many say, Pastor, I do too much of this? I'll raise my hand. We get so wrapped up in a world that is passing away. You know what we're doing in those moments where we're endlessly wrapped up? We're throwing shovel after shovel after shovel upon the thing that Christ has entrusted us with. One talent represented what? 6,000 days. What does my life represent? You know, if you throw down the burden of serving Christ, you throw enough dirt on it, you will learn to be able to step over need, and it'll never affect you. I was so thankful a few weeks ago when we were doing the junior sleepover and lock-in, and we were preaching the first message of this sermon. And some of you all came up to me and said, Pastors, I mean, you men, I'm going to be there on Friday night. Now, their mouth wrote a check that their body had to cash the following Friday. I watched some of them sleep in their cars. I watched some of them stay up all night. I watched some of them lay down in a tent. That was part of your 6,000 days, man. And they're little, you think you didn't make any difference. There are little boys who years from now say, there was this guy at a sleepover. Now, he was a little weird. But he did this. And it helped me. Only eternity is going to show the 6,000 days of a man's life. You say, Pastor, what's it look like for a man who can step over need? It's in Luke 16. Remember that rich man? And there was a beggar laid at his gate. He just wanted to eat the crumbs, the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Johnny and I saw a lady standing yesterday along the road, didn't we, Johnny? Holding a sign. Family in need. We need food. Anything will help. Johnny said, when Tina and I see that, we go buy food and we take it to them. You know, you can't give people money anymore because they'll tell you they're going to use it on food, and we know that they don't, right? But Johnny said, this is what I do. And that blessed me, Johnny. I want to be somebody who looks to help those that are looking for scraps of food. Amen? What does my life represent? Hannah, you can play something soft for me today. I got to close. What are the arguments of the rich man, or excuse me, of the unfaithful man? What are his arguments?
Well, when the Lord comes, what does he say? Verse 24, he that received the one talent came and said, Lord, actually jump to verse 25. I want to deal with that first. He said, Lord, I was what? Afraid. Pastor, I'm afraid that I won't be able to deal with these kids. I'm afraid I won't be able to speak. You know, my wife hates to speak. It's so wild how God works. I'm down there worshiping the Lord today, got my eyes closed. A lot of times when I'm worshiping, folks, my eyes are closed, I'm worshiping. All of a sudden, I hear my wife going wild. And I went, open one of them up. Afraid if I opened both of them up, she quits. I just opened up one. And she went on, and she went on, and she went on. That wasn't my wife. It was her. That was the Lord. You can say, I'm not a speaker. You folks don't know me. Not really know me from years ago. A lot of days most days of my life, I would get up before anybody in the house was up. I would get myself ready. I would walk down to the road and I would wait on the bus. And the bus would pick me up and I would get on the bus and I had a Sony Walkman. How many have one of them? Not the cassette, not the CD one, but the cassette one. Some of you are so old, you had the LP one. I didn't have that one. I had the cassette one. They didn't have an LP one. Let's move on. And they would go on my ears. And I hit play. And every wicked thought from the stuff I was listening to flooded my soul. When I got to school, I couldn't listen to the music, so out came books, terrible books, story books, but just terrible, no good, useful stories. And I read hundreds of books. That's how I got through high school. When I climbed off that bus that evening, taking the headphones back off again, going into my home, at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon was the first time I talked to anybody. I hated to talk to people. 17 years old, I get saved. I go to the altar. The minister leans down and whispers in my ear. He says, God's going to give you time to get yourself straightened out, but he demands your life of you. Preach every week here. I've preached at times to 5 people. I've preached at times the crowd's nearly 1,000. It's as hard to preach to 5 as it is to 1,000. I get out of this pulpit and I think that was the dumbest stuff ever was said. God, why would anybody listen to it? It's awful. Trying to be what the Lord wants you to be, meaning that it just rings you out. But on that day when he comes, and I can go and I can lay at his feet that which was his, and I can say I didn't bury it, and I didn't hide it, and Lord, I added a little to it. What does he say to those men who added? You, well done, you good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. I don't want to be the guy who gets there and says, I was afraid. And I knew you were awful. What does the unfaithful man say? I knew you were unfair. When Adam sinned in the garden and ate of that tree, and realized he was naked. And God finds him. And God says to him, Adam, why did you eat of the fruit of that tree? What does Adam say? That woman that you gave me. Does that sound like this man here? You're so unfair, God. How could I ever do what you asked me to do? Is it a burden? Is it buried? Can you step over need? Are you really good at justifying inactivity? You know what the spiritual superpower is of the unfaithful man? He can justify anything. I don't want to be that person. Now, I've gotten way off my notes here and we've gone down the road the Lord's led me. This thought occurred to me as I was preparing this message. We're so hard on those disciples on the night of Jesus' betrayal. Peter denies him 3 times. We say, look at that guy. 3 times. He's saying he never denied. Look at that guy. The others, it says, they all forsook him and what? They fled. But let me show you something about these 11 guys that ought to be in every one of us. When Jesus said, tonight, one of you shall betray me before the rooster crows. What did they say? They didn't say, Lord, I know it's John. Lord, I know it's James. Is that what they did? What did they say? Lord, is it I? And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who travels into a far country, and he calls his servants to him, and he gives them his goods. To one receives 5, to one receives 2, to one receives 1. And the one that received 1 went out and buried it. That should make you ask, Lord, is that me? I want to leave a light on. I hope when I'm old, if I ever lived long enough to be old, I feel old now. Anybody there with me? They say old's coming, but I'm there. I hope if I live to be old enough, if I'm sitting in some chair somewhere and it's parked in the corner of some room, feeling like life has left me behind, I hope somebody will come through the door of that place and say, Pastor Aaron, I need to be right with the Lord. And I knew I could come talk to you. The only thing that matters is oil. And the point of the oil is to shine. But if you're really going to shine, you got to leave the light on. 6,000, 12,000, 30,000, I don't know what you've been entrusted with, but it's a big deal. So how do we end this? Well, you all know what I'm going to say, not with a ham sandwich. Who here this morning says, Pastor, I need to give myself wholeheartedly to faithfulness, to spiritual faithfulness. And if that's you, I know there's a lot of us, if that's you, would you come this morning? You can stand, you can kneel. But don't come because somebody else did or didn't. Only come if that applies to you. Pastor, I need to give myself to spiritual faithfulness. Would you come? I'll wait a moment.